Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
The Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
Thank you for tuning in to 97.7 WVFF. Welcome back to The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe, here with my co-host, Raven.
Keep it cranking.
Something, something tractors. This is part two. Let's get into it.
History of Ford and Massey tractors. Now we're on to just some cool and interesting tractors that we each thought we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, because we don't know anything about tractors, so this was quite difficult to come up with. And
it was
a lot of track. Like
next one, we should do tanks.
Oh,
I get you going on a tangent.
Yes. Next episode, tanks. Tune in. We just picked like a few random ones. I picked the 1956 David Bradley Walk Behind. It's a tractor that only has two wheels. And no steering wheel. Apparently, tractors could be really teeny.
Yeah.
Did
it have a motor?
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was like self-propelled. You just like balance it. Yeah, it looks like one of the old plows.
Yeah.
But you could swap attachments. You could put front weights and stuff on it. They even had a
Who was running that tractor?
Right? But they from the factory they came with two steel wheels.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy optional rubber ones. Oh, yeah, and where you'd buy them was through the Sears catalog.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, you wouldn't buy them from a dealership. You'd get them through a catalog, and they were sold for $290, which is probably like $80,000 now, because I didn't do the math.
Yeah, I was about to say, can you even find any of those around?
There's a guy who has like 10 of them on YouTube.
Uh-uh. He just has them.
Yeah, apparently they're pretty cheap to get, which, I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You want to go for a ride on this tractor? Well, you can't. Yeah, there's no seat or nothing. So. Yeah, there's no seat. But yeah, no, it's pretty neat. This one is the 56 one is a single cylinder, 5 horsepower, 1 speed. But yeah, it's neat. You can like swap attachments and stuff. You can put a bush hog on them, which is crazy for like something you're walking behind.
Yeah. Yeah, where does that... What? Where do you even stand when you have that on there?
On the ground, I guess. I don't know. But you walk behind it.
I would figure you'd stand on the ground.
Maybe the bush hog goes in the front.
What?
I don't know.
We should have looked up pictures.
I watched a video on it.
Oh, well,
so there's a YouTube channel called Classic Tractor Fever. We're not sponsored by them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they have a bunch of cool, like, little 5-minute videos on a bunch of old stuff. I think a couple of these here are on here.
Oh.
Yeah, I figured.
Back and forth?
Yeah, we do a back and forth. You go.
So this is my turn. Well, the tractor I picked was Big Bud. Big Bud is still considered one of the world's largest agricultural tractors in use today. Big Bud was designed to be easy to repair and rebuild, and so many of the ones that were originally produced still run.
Hey.
Yeah, so it's like they're not just all broken down somewhere, like even if they haven't been worked on in a period of time.
Still running.
Yeah, you still hop in, crank it up, and it'll go.
I didn't think they made more than one.
No. God, how many did they make? I have the number in here somewhere. Let me read it. It has a 16-cylinder Detroit diesel engine.
Heck yeah.
That started at 760 horsepower. I don't know if they still got 760 horsepower, but...
That's a lot.
When they first made it, it had that. It has 8-foot diameter tires. It measures at 27 feet long, 20 feet wide and 14 feet tall.
Jeez.
Like, this is just a massive tractor. It has a 1,000-gallon fuel tank. And, but what's even crazier is that it can work more than an acre per minute at a speed of 8 miles an hour.
Gosh.
So, like, it's so massive, it can work an acre of land.
Per minute.
In a minute, but it only goes 8 miles an hour. So imagine getting stuck behind that on the road. You ain't passing it because it's blocking the whole road.
Yeah, and the, so the biggest bud, I believe, ended up getting the horsepower bumped up to like 1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, those things are, they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. But, so the first one was built in 1968, and the last one was built in 1991.
Want one.
Where are you going to put it? Where are you putting it?
wherever I want.
Who's going to make you move?
So, next one I picked was the 1945 through 1957 Field Marshal. Looks like a normal tractor. They were made in Britain. I think they were sold all throughout Europe. They're one cylinder, two stroke diesel. It's a hot bulb engine.
What does that mean?
It means you have to like light the engine on fire to get it to run. And like almost no movement. Like there's like no valves. Like they just run forever because there's like no like moving parts in the engine.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. How come they don't make engines like that now? Probably
because nobody wants to light them on fire.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably do like electric fire or something. But yeah, so instead of glow plugs like modern diesels have, this was like way old school. So it had like this thing, you put a little fire in there. But let's say you needed to get it started a little bit faster and you didn't have time to be messing with sticks. You put a shotgun shell in it.
Oh, that's the same one?
That's that one. Yeah, the Field Marshal, certain model years, I think it was after the end of World War II, because they just had like a bunch of shotgun shells.
Might as well use them.
Yeah, you can start them with that. It has this little thing you unscrew on the side, and you put a blank shotgun shell in. You're not just shooting the neighbor, you know?
I want to know how many times people did that. I want to know how many times people went to start it. Instead of putting a blank, they put a real one in. It got shot.
This thing won't start. I don't know what's going on.
That's freaking nuts.
But yeah, so these, so this engine, maximum RPM is 700. This is highest it will rev.
Yeah,
it's just big, slow engines that are just chug along all day.
Yeah.
Top speeds on this one varied. The early years, you can get them as the top speed as low as 6 miles an hour. top speed. It'll go slower.
Big Bud went faster.
Well, easy now. So the later models with the high range gearboxes could go up to 12.
Oh.
Chugging along with, oh, of course I didn't even get the horsepower. It was probably like, I'm going to say 40 horse.
I don't understand the ratio to like how fast you can get the car to go to that. Equal horsepower.
This again.
I know they're two different numbers, but how does the numbers work?
They're different. They're like related, but they're different.
They're second cousins. They're related, but they're different.
They're cousins closer than brothers.
They're related, but different.
That's all I had for the field mark.
See if I can get you going on a tangent here. So I picked a World War II Jeep tractors, and there wasn't a whole lot of info on these. The coolest stuff I found out is that the Imperial Tractor Corporation built light-duty farm tractors after World War II that used components from the surplus Willie Jeeps, including the engine. Willie and Ford built over 639,000 of those Jeeps during World War II. Yeah, just absolutely everywhere. So I can understand why they're like, we just have so many extras. Might as well do something else with them. But that was really all the cool information I could find. I couldn't find out. Everything else was just telling me about the Jeeps.
Yeah, so with that being said, a lot of people would use the old Jeeps as tractors on the farm. And you could get special made, like, attachments for the farm, but made for Willie's Jeeps.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, like, everything. Like, log splitters, you get the, you know, the things that go down, the cultivators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any attachment you could think of for a tractor, they had them for Jeeps back in the day.
Oh.
Because they were just everywhere. And then people were like, well, I'm going to use it on the farm.
Yeah. I wonder how many of those parts and Jeeps you could find around now.
Super rare.
Yeah, I figured. I was like, man, they had over 600,000 of these things, but I don't think I've ever seen one.
Mm-mm. Now they make like the, I don't know what company it is, but at the at that one tractor place in Walterboro, they got, it looks like a World War II Jeep, but it's not.
No? What is it?
I don't know. It's like new.
Oh.
Yeah, so I did one of my favorite tractors.
What?
The Lance Bulldog, which apparently, yes, they were called Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
But in Germany, that's also what they call tractors. That's what the internet said. I don't know. But yeah, so they manufactured this series of tractors between 1921 and 1960. They, you know, they were made in Germany. They were never sold in the U.S., so there's not a lot here. Single-cylinder, two-stroke diesel,
mm-hmm.
hot bulb engine, like the Field Marshal.
Yeah.
So the
Field Marshal wasn't the only tractor to run like that.
Yes, this one, same thing. You put a little fire in the bulb.
Huh.
Yeah, or light it. I think it was common just to torch. Instead of lighting a fire, you just hold a torch to it.
Yeah.
To get it hot enough. But yeah, they made up to 45 horsepower and 375 foot-pounds of torque. That was like the highest number, you know, between 1921 and 1960. They had all sorts of different... Oh, yeah, and another thing. Another crazy... There was like a lot of crazy things about these tractors besides not having like valves and stuff.
Yeah.
And lighting them on fire to start. So the steering wheel...
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're a crank start.
Yeah.
And instead of having a separate crank, you would detach the steering wheel and steering column. It came out, it would detach, and you'd put that onto the side of the flywheel, and you'd use your steering wheel to actually turn the flywheel to start it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're all like this, but on the old ones... Once it started, like, that steering wheel was spinning at the speed of the engine, and you'd have to, like,
pop it off.
It's so sketchy. Once they crank up, it's like, and people normally bump the steering column shaft and, like, throw the nice wooden steering wheel, like, out of the way.
I mean, how else are you supposed to do it? It's not like you can catch it.
Oh, my God, yeah, super sketchy. But yeah, then you'd find it because it'd probably roll away because it's...
going 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But...
Imagine chasing after your steering wheel.
Right? Well, it sounds like a Charlie Chaplin movie.
It really does.
So the Lance Bulldog engine is one of the lowest revving tractor engines.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the lowest revving engines in the world. It can idle at zero RPMs with the flywheel never completing a full rotation. It does like almost a full one and it goes back. And they even have the only gauge that you'll ever see on a Lance Bulldog tractor is a gauge for that. And it'll show you what direction the engine's spinning. It's really crazy.
Why though?
Probably good for a saw.
I mean,
if you attach the saw to it, I don't know.
Oh yeah, but it's like they've made other engines, so it's not like this was the first one built and they didn't know how to make it go full circle. Full circle?
Oh, no. It's supposed to run, like, 90% of the time. It'll run all the...
So they did that on purpose.
Yeah, there's some use for it. You could even put it... You could put it in gear with it at zero RPMs, and it'll just rock the tractor back and forth.
And like, I could have used that to rock her to sleep.
Oh, no, it's, like, violent.
Oh!
It's like, bam! Bam! Yeah, they're super cool. I really want one. And later models were built kind of to replace the need for a separate automobile, like, after the war. A lot of them, they had fancy cloth tops, and they had, like, nice headlights. And they had a top speed around 30 kilometers per hour. I didn't do the calculation. Mm-hmm. But that seems fast enough because they didn't have suspension. But yeah, I mean, that's what farmers would drive in Germany to town.
Just getting rocked around on the street.
Pull up, put it at zero RPMs.
I mean, no one's going to take it. You get off there and you're still...
Yeah, I think they're really cool. And they're, I mean, good luck finding one. I know where a couple are, like, in museums, but...
Oh, can't take those.
Yeah. I tried.
So the next one I picked, I don't have a lot of information on it either, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. But it is pretty cool. I've been pronouncing it Fagoli.
Fagoli.
Fagoli. I don't know. F-A-G-E-O-L. Any listeners listening in, give us a call.
Call us up.
She's licking a pillow now.
That's why we can't have nice things.
What is wrong with this chat? But the Fagoli tractors were anything but ordinary. The best known model, I didn't even know them, period, was the 912, sometimes identified as an 812. Was downright odd looking, and it really was because of how the rear wheels looked. They had teeth, or how they refer to them as spuds. So it looks like, God, what's that crazy farming equipment? Oh no, you've used it to get the grass from the driveway.
Oh, like a weed eater? You're talking about the thing. Oh, what is that called? What is that spiky thing called?
You run that across to separate the grass from the driveway.
I want
to
say a tiller?
Well, that looks just like that, a tiller, and it's all these
spikes. It's like death spikes.
Yeah, so it's got normal tires in the front and then death spikes in the back.
I know in lawn care they're called aerators.
Oh, is that? I had no idea.
But the little thing with the two metal wheels that intertwine, God, what is that called? Everyone had one. Like,
well, what the wheels looked like, because it was also two. It was two of them. It wasn't just one. It was two of the blades that rotated.
What?
Yeah, for each. So it was just two on one side and two on the other, and it was just these. It looked like a torture device. It's like something you'd use to run people down.
Zombie tires.
But the first Fagoli. Again, I'm so sorry.
Fagoli.
I'm going to say Fagoli. So I don't want people to get mad at us. The tractor was more of a train than a tractor because it was huge. It was this big metal bulky thing. And it was built for carting passengers around in 1915 in the Panama Pacific International Exposition.
Grounds. Really rolls off the tongue.
Yes, grounds in San Francisco. So when they would do the...
like the World's Fairs?
The World's Fair, yeah. They would bring that, and then because it was this massive... And again, this thing is terrifying. Like, I don't understand why they were like, yeah, this will be a good thing to run around crowds in.
Yeah, because the spikes were like... They were massive spikes.
They were massive. And they're like, yeah, we'll just cart people around in this thing. You would only get in its way once, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All right, your turn.
Okay, so I had this one. There's a couple of videos of it on YouTube, and there's really not any information besides these couple of videos. Mm-hmm. It's an International Harvester 400 twin Someone got two International 400s and put them together.
It looks like they just welded the two together. I think they should have called it
the 800. But it's literally, yeah, it's two International 400s put together. It looks super cool. It's no steering wheel.
They called it the conjoined twin.
It's center drive. And it doesn't, like, the wheels don't steer. It turns like a skid steer. And it's four-wheel drive and has big turf tires on it, like almost monster truck tires. It's so cool. And the two halves of it articulate independently.
That's so crazy.
So if you're going over rough terrain, one engine will go up and the other engine will stay. And you're driving it in the middle. I don't understand how you don't get, like...
That's so crazy. It's almost funny. It's almost comical because it's like someone said, I want more power. And they're like, let's just stick another motor on there.
Quick recap. It's two International 400s put together. It's like two tractors with a house in the middle. That's what they did. It's like they got one and they took the wheels off one side.
Yeah.
And then they got another one and they took the wheels off the other side and they stuck them together.
Yeah. No, I've seen it.
But they move.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But yeah, and it has, like, if you're going over rough terrain, like, one half will go up and then the other half will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it doesn't, like, I don't know. Only
I'm
one
surprised
exists.
It doesn't, like, snap in the middle.
Right? But it's old. Like, it's like from the 50s.
Yeah.
I don't know when they made it. It was probably in the 60s or 70s. But the guy who owned that, he didn't make it, but he had a collection of multiple tractors put together.
You probably knew the guy who originally built them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the guy who originally built it was, well, I don't, don't know.
Don't
can't
know.
Can't remember the name, but it's on the side of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the guy, his collection, he had tractors where it's like three tractors put together, like sideways to make
one.
Yeah. He had a bunch of them. Speaking of multiple tractors put together, I really wanted to do a bit on, well, not a bit, but do a little segment on the, it was common on big farms because they really wanted four-wheel drive tractors back in the day.
Yeah.
People would get one tractor, get rid of the controls, take the front wheels off a second tractor, and attach it to the back of the first one.
So it's like a tractor train?
Yes, but you drive it, it would articulate in the middle, but it would be four-wheel drive.
What could possibly be the useful purpose for something that long and complicated, though?
Twice as much power, twice as much traction.
You men.
No, and a couple companies, I think International made one like that. I think International is one of their first.
Instead of making a bigger motor, just stick two of them together. That'll work.
Yeah. You want twice as many driven wheels? Where are you getting twice as many tractor chassis? Yeah, International made one, like, from the factory.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, that was a common thing, especially in Australia, in the huge farms, is they would get two of the same tractors and it looked like an accident, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I had for the 400 twin.
Well, I have one more.
Cool, because I have one more.
And I meant to show you a picture of this.
Describe it. What's it look like? Look like a tractor?
I have no idea. Hold on.
It had like big wheels in the back and smaller wheels in the front. Probably had a man in a straw hat driving.
No, I don't even. Well, yeah, I guess it is that old.
Oh, well, she's looking that up. I did see the best air conditioning in a tractor the other day. I was behind this guy. I can't remember what kind of tractor it was. But on the roll bar, he attached a radiator fan right above where the seat would go. Man, that should be a standard feature. Just don't put your fingers in it.
Okay.
So oh, the Minneapolis Moline.
No, this is, they call it the UDLX Comfort Tractor.
What that MM say? That Minneapolis Moline.
Oh, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they called it something else.
Man, I'm glad you did that tractor, because I almost talked about it.
Yeah, no, I saw it, and I thought that'd be pretty cool. I was like, I hadn't even thought about it until I was scrolling, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Those things are super cool, super rare.
Oh, yeah, because nobody, they wanted it. So, okay, hold on. Backtrack. Let me start again. Okay, it was, when they made this, it was definitely ahead of its time. It debuted in 1938, and it was the farm vehicle that was blurred the line between tractor and truck. But the Minneapolis Moline marketing the vehicle as something farmers could use for both work and play. It's a covered tractor.
Yeah, fully enclosed cap. Fully enclosed. It's
the best way I could describe it to any
glass for windows anyone listening. All the way around.
Yeah, no,
fully sealing doors.
And it looks really nice. It almost reminds me of what's the car?
Yeah, it looks like a 1930s or 40s, like any of the cars.
Yeah, and it's got the
swooped fenders.
Yeah, it's got the, like, it's fendered out. Like, it looks, it honestly, if you didn't know it was a tractor, you would think it's just a big car.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because even the cab on it, it's not a square cab. It's very beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. But the company built the UDLX, which is what they have it listed as, or what's it, an MM?
Well, it's a mini. That sounded bad. Yeah. It's a Minneapolis Moline UDLX.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with UDLX because the rest of that's a mouthful. they built it in response to farmers demanding something with enclosed cabs on a tractor. In fact, the UDLX was probably the first working farm tractor to feature a cab, which was not a common feature for modern tractors.
Yeah, still to this day, you can get a brand new tractor without an enclosed cab.
Oh, yeah, but what's crazy is that, like, all these people were like, yeah, this is what we want, this is what we want, and then they built it, and like, oh.
Well, we don't want to buy it.
Yeah, it's like, we don't actually want that, but, like, but some of the features it had a 2.9 ton. No, was that?
Yeah.
It was powered by the Minneapolis Moline 4-cylinder KED petroleum engine. What's a KED?
Huh? What's a UDLX? See, that's the thing with tractor names.
That's what it stands for.
That's the thing with tractor
but
names.
But that's an engine. I thought you would know what a KED engine was.
It's a kid.
It had 46 horsepower, and its featured gearbox had 5 forward gears and 1 reverse gear. And its top speed was 40 miles an hour, or for Europe, 64 kilometers.
That's actually really fast. Is that all you had on that?
Yes, that is.
So I was going to do a bit on the fastest tractor.
Yeah.
Like the fastest modern day tractor production that you could buy.
Yeah.
45.
Really?
Yeah, that's so like 19...
This was 1938, and it went 40.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, if you Google the fastest production tractor, it's same brand as JCB.
Yeah.
But somehow the record's 158 miles per hour.
Who farming that fast?
Well, no, not just that.
Imagine you sitting, you driving past a field, and you see a tractor going faster than you.
It's just a blur. It's just a blur in rooster tail.
Oh my god!
No, but that's the thing. So the record for the fastest production tractor,
yeah,
is 158 miles per hour. 165. Like, it's a crazy.
That's a crazy number.
But it's not a production tractor. And it even says the production variant of this tractor, the top speed is JCB, it's like 45.
Yeah.
Then that's the record is 45. Yeah. It's not almost, you know, it's not over 150.
It's like you can get it up to this speed, but
it's not production.
Speed. Yeah. It's not, you're not going to be able to do nothing at that speed.
Get passed on the highway. Hauling the grain trailer. He's making his trips.
He has somewhere to be. He got a farm and deliver.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they got to do.
That's crazy.
Well, that wasn't my last one or my next one. My last one is the 1858 Thomas Allen steam traction engine. It was made with a modified portable engine.
What do you mean? Like you could pick it up and move the engine without the tractor?
Nope.
What was it?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know why they were called portable engines. Maybe it had wheels and you could roll it. I don't know. There's like no information on it because it's so old. Believe it or not, 1958, before the internet was around. There's not a lot of info on this thing. But it had a chain that connected to the back wheels. That connected the back wheels to the crankshaft. Okay, so maybe, you know what? Maybe it was an engine on a stand with wheels. And someone's like, hear me out. We're going to connect the wheels to the engine. So I think that's where this one came in.
We'd have to look at some books.
Yeah, it looks like a steam train. Mm. Like a lot of the real old, like a lot of steam stuff. it looks like a train. And that's the earliest documented tractor that I could find.
Oh.
I don't even know if it did tractor stuff. It didn't have a three-point. Because Massey invented that in the... Whenever they invented that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I had. But last week, we mentioned that we didn't do anything on all of our tractors. So I have an AI overview of the history of all of our tractors. Because I never think of all of our tractors.
Mm-mm.
We see them a lot. They're a very common antique tractor.
Very cute. Very little.
They're green and yellow, but they're not John Deere.
They did it right before John Deere. John Deere wishes they were Oliver. Because you can actually fix them.
Dang. That's a hot take right there. I'm not going to say anything because John Deere will hunt me down. No, John Deere's crazy. All right, hear me out, John Deere. Let people fix their tractors. Let them fix them.
They're farmers for a reason.
Let them fix the tractors, John Deere. I don't know why you're making it to where they can't just fix their tractors. Anywho, John Deere, let me get an 8R. I want an 8R, please.
Mm.
And I won't slander you ever again. Until I have to fix it. All right, let me quit. Okay, the history of Oliver tractors is rooted in agricultural industry. Gosh, that's a word. It could be traced back to 1855. And Jesus. If anyone heard that noise, it's a hit and miss and not a nail gun. James Oliver, in 1855, James Oliver bought a quarter interest in South Bend Foundry in Mishawaka, Indiana. Sorry, it was bring your children to to recording day. In 1857, Oliver patented his chilled plow.
Chilled plow?
Didn't know that was a thing. Had a hard outer skin and was able to plow through heavy, sticky soils. In the 1920s, Oliver began experimenting with a tractor that produced the Oliver chilled plow tractor. I'm not sure what that is. Oliver merged with Hart Parr, a company already in the tractor business, and produced a new line of tractors. Oliver Farm Equipment Company, in 1929, Oliver merged with the American Seeding Machine Company, Oliver Chilled Plow Works, Hart Parr Tractor Company, and Nicholas and Shepherd Company to form the Oliver Farm Equipment Company. That's a big merger.
Yeah.
That's a whole bunch of companies. In 1944, the Oliver Farm Equipment Company changed its name to Oliver Corporation.
Okay.
In 1960, White Motor White Motor Corporation purchased Oliver Corporation.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You messing with me?
You still got a bite?
Yeah, I had a lizard bite me on the ear.
Self-inflicted.
It's good luck. Last.
How's that lucky bite feel?
It was fine until I pulled him off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started bleeding. The last Oliver branded tractor rolled off the assembly line in 1976.
So wait, is Oliver still a company and they just don't name brand stuff?
No, I don't think so. No, because that was the last Oliver tractor.
Okay. But you're saying that they were bought by other companies.
Yeah, they were bought by White.
They changed their name.
That's the thing with a lot of these tractor companies. They've been bought. And then they get sold and then like the name changes like all the time.
But it's the same company.
Not anymore.
Same, but different.
Yeah, like they'll buy it and they'll be like, okay, we're not. Like, that's what happened to Alice Chalmers. They got bought and then they're like, well, we're not making you anymore. And they're like, yeah, but you are.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
No, it's something else.
Yeah.
Same, but different.
Yeah. Here we go. I got some notable Oliver tractors. Mm-hmm. Include Super 44, great name. A collectible tractor that weighed 2,400 pounds and cost around $2,200 in 1958. Super 55. It's a heavier version of the 44. That's all it says.
That's it? It weighed more.
I guess it was I imagine it probably had more power.
Mm.
Oliver 2255, a powerful tractor from the mid-70s that used a 3208 Caterpillar engine. They put 3208s in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver 770, a tractor with a green body and green tangled white grills and wheels.
So it's just decorated different.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, Oliver. This company was formed in 1929 after the merger of Hart Parr Tractor Works, Nicholas Shepherd, Oliver Chilled Plow Works, and the American Seeding Company. That's where Oliver Tractors came from.
Woo.
Yeah, that's all we had. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble.
Always good times.
Always. Yeah. This was the Toolbox. Thank you for tuning in to 97.7 WVFF. And check out the Patriots Club, because they gave us some steaks. And of course, I'm going to plug them. If anyone wants to send us free stuff, I will shout you out on the radio.
You can reach him at 843.
Nope. Via email. Which I don't have one.
Mm-mm, messenger pigeon.
Just drop it off. Drop it off down here at the station and say, for the Toolbox. But bring enough for everyone. That's the other caveat.
What?
Caveat. It's like a string attached. Like, if you're bringing, like, if John Deere's dropping off me a tractor, they need to drop off enough tractors for everyone here at the station. Thanks for listening.
Till next time, keep it cranking.
Something, something tractors. I don't know, I didn't think of one.
We thank you for staying tuned to the Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.